Alan.
Grez.
Here. And welcome to Rise of the Robots. Just before the start of the episode, just a quick reminder that if you want to hear our dulcet tones elsewhere, well, good luck finding it with Grez, because he's not on a podcast at the moment. He's mine! All mine!
Yep, I've actually just had the gag taken out of my mouth and the handcuffs taken off just so I can record this.
And meanwhile, if you want to hear me elsewhere, you can listen to the DCAU podcast where Rebecca and I discuss DC animated movies.
And on the occasion, you can find me there. If you miss me.
I'm Alan.
I'm Grez.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots. This week we are covering Robot Wars, The Sith Wars, Heat G.
G stands for G. I wish one of these robots was in a different episode.
Yes. I'll put it this way. So this is the middle episode of a batch of recording. So we record three in a batch. There was one robot in this episode, I'm sitting there going, if you had been in the previous episode,
mm-hmm.
or the episode after this,
mm-hmm.
you would have got to the semi-finals.
Yep. You just got stuck in an episode with that rough robot. From Cambridgeshire, seeded number 12, Tornado.
I was wondering why this was seeded, because it got bit slapped by Deotor, but then I went, oh yeah, it did get to the semi-finals of the World Championship.
Okay, points for that. Right, this is what I'm interested in, though, is like when Deotor shows up in this season, I'm assuming he does.
He doesn't.
He doesn't?
He doesn't. Series 5 is the last series of Deotor.
Aww.
Until it's generic third over housemaid pot.
Aww.
Which I makes thought... that made me so sad. Like, that's not Deotor.
Two wheel vert Deotor. That was depressing to hear. I didn't know that was the end of Deotor last year. I would have cherished that moment even more.
It's not quite the end of Deotor. I believe they show up in Extreme 2.
Okay.
For one okay. match.
If that means we get at least one more Deotor, then I'll what's the word I'm looking for? Cherish that match when it comes.
Yep. Anyway, there's three more robots. So come on, yeah, give us the jobbers.
None of them are Deotor.
Give us some jobbers, come on.
From West Yorkshire, Terror Bowl.
Oh, I'm sad that this is a jobber. I love this robot. It's brilliant looking.
It is.
It's a box. So it's a box-shaped robot with a bullhead flipper. They showed up two seasons previously, and I remember loving them then too.
Yeah. And I will talk about them, but also in this match, from Middlesex, Inshreddable.
I've just looked up its previous series. I forgot there was a series where we got to Heat P. Inshreddable. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's a big wedge with a giant disc. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, words, nope, not words. Points for wordplay.
Yeah, I'll give them that.
I'd love a good wordplay / pun, whatever you want to call it. And from Cheshire, Edgehog.
Now, I got this confused, because Edgehog, isn't that the name of that little robot that fought Robot the Bruce?
Is that a Wedgehog?
Wedgehog, right, that's what I'm thinking of. This is actually basically giant... It's appropriate because it's kind of the same shape and it is an axe pot.
Yeah, and the axe is almost as flimsy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I know I kind of said this jokingly, but it is very true. This is free jobbers.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even it goes to show that, like, indefatigable... Nope, that's the wrong robot to say.
Inshreddable.
Indefatigable hasn't been around for two seasons, but yet still lives rent-free in my mind. Inshreddable comes face-to-face with Tornado. So it's big-ass Inshreddable disc and tiny in comparison disc of Tornado. And then when we come out of that exchange, something is dangling from the front of Inshreddable.
Yes!
Wedgehog doesn't take long to be stuck on the wall, as we think it is. And then RefBot pulls it sort of away from the wall a little. And that's when we realize, yep, it's not stuck. It's dead.
Yes, it is. It is dead. Meanwhile, so Inshreddable is... So Inshreddable then gets pushed by Tornado into Matilda's disc.
Mm-hmm.
And explodes.
Yep.
just Edgehog, at this point I was like, so Edgehog looked like it died on the pit button.
Yeah.
Inshreddable must be dead. Look at it.
Yeah.
And Terrible is just kind of going around going, I'm fine.
Yeah, this is the bit I was about to talk about. It's the way that, like, Tornado and Terrible teamed up to kind of get Inshreddable into the corner, and then that's when Matilda comes in with the saw and explodes Inshreddable. So Tornado and Terrible go back into the middle of the arena. That's when they start sitting there like, la 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 la, yes,
and
we did it, we advanced.
Just turn around and just go, oh yeah, that's right, I don't have to be nice to anyone. And just casually pits Terrible.
Yeah.
It's just like, da 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 da, into the pit.
It's the way that, like, it literally just turns around and goes, away with you. It's like literally grabbing a wrestler and throwing them over the top rope in a Royal Rumble.
And then you just turn around and you look, and just in shot you see this limping Inshreddable just going, I'm not dead.
It's like, and I think it's like, holy shit, I did it.
Now, where did I put my spleen?
I believe I had more appendages when this match started. So, in my notes, I wrote, Terrible gets pinned by Tornado in a very WWE-style move. Nado and Bull were celebrating as Shred seemed dead. Then Nado turned around and pits Bill. And then I just went, pits Bill.
So.
Mr. Worldwide.
Oh. I was thinking of Pitbull, the robot that was able to beat the cursed one with a floor spike.
Yes, I would rather think about that Pitbull every day.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's four more robots to introduce.
There certainly is. From Northampton, Thor.
So this is early Thor.
Yes.
This Thor is enormous.
It's gigantic.
It's this giant kind of shield shape.
Yeah.
And the hammer. I mean, they're compensating for something. This hammer is... This hammer must be a meter long. Which... I think leads to the problem is... It takes so much effort to actually lift the hammer that it doesn't seem to actually... do much when it lands.
Yeah, it seems as if it's meant to be another one of those wreck your insides as opposed to,
yeah,
like do visible damage.
Yes.
But it's all about waiting for the right hit.
Yeah.
From Scotland, Revolution 2.
I like it.
It is very pretty.
I like it. I like it so much.
If Revolution 2 is still cutting about in Scotland, like, bring that to one of these shows where you bring robots.
Yes, please do. I like it. So just to explain, very what pretty.
Giant combine harvester.
Yeah, basically what they've done. So it's the actual robot is kind of this sort of, for want of a comparison, something like Griffin or Biohazard size robot, like really thin.
Yeah.
But instead of being flat on the ground, it's basically at a huge angle because its main weapon is this enormous trio of rotating axes.
Yeah.
Which I can only guess is meant to be this sort of lifting / slashing weapon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I looked at it as more. It's like, it can probably pierce and do damage, but it's probably more meant to be used as a lifting weapon, like scooping up and flicking robots away. Kind of like what Mammoth does in BattleBots.
Yes.
But points for uniqueness, definitely. This is a...
And in any other battle, this would be a unique and special robot.
Mm-hmm. From Northamptonshire, Anarchy.
So, you remember how Scuttle got big?
Mm-hmm.
They decided what would happen if we put an enormous axe and flipper on it.
Mm. What would happen?
Which does mean it gets a little bit of multiple weapon syndrome, unfortunately.
Eh.
But this is the most effective and well-built walking robot in Robot Wars history.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make this clear, it is fast for a walker robot.
Mm-hmm.
That becomes important later.
Yes. It has a lot of live up to since Claude Hopper, the first ever walking robot to make it out of the melees. Yes. So let's see how well Anarchy does.
Against? And
from Leicester, Judge Shred 2.5.
So Judge Shred 2 is this dome-shaped wedge robot with a flipper. And, yeah. Unfortunately for them, very early on, they get mounted by Revolution 2.
Mm.
Meanwhile, so there's almost this kind of pairing off. The two Axebots go to fight each other. And Judge Shred and Revolution go off to fight each other.
Well, it's not like Judge Shred had a choice, really.
And
it got stuck in Revolution for most of the match, and it's like, well, guess I'm stuck here now.
Meanwhile, Anarchy... There is one point where Judge Shred gets stuck between Anarchy and Thor, and the two of them just go, my axe hits harder. No, my axe hits harder. My axe hits harder. I am the tag team champions.
I am the axe team champions. Even then, like, Judge Shred is stuck in the grips of Revolution, but like it's still trying to get rid of Anarchy and actually almost flips it.
Uh-huh.
So that would have been interesting to see. It was like this whole thing could have went completely tits up if Shred was able to just flip Anarchy on its side.
And then Anarchy then manages to flip the Revolution. And then gets a great flip on Judge Shred. Just that awkward one of, okay, Judge Shred cannot self-right from that.
That's probably because its self-righter had been battered into its shell, like, by the time.
Yeah, because
it needed to use it.
Meanwhile, Revolution, I don't know how this happens. Basically, I get the impression Revolution's meant to be invertible.
Yeah.
But the basically the mounting that it goes on, it's one mounting that swaps sides.
Uh-huh.
And it couldn't do that.
Yeah.
So it's stuck on its weapon.
Because it's as Alan said, it's like the two big wheels are at the back, and then it has like some like it has like a kind of set of like small caster wheels that are on like long arms. And that's what holds it upright. So the second that got flipped over to the other side, there's not a set of those long caster wheels on poles or whatever on the other side.
Yes.
So the second it got flipped over, the weapon was embedded in the ground.
Yeah. And the second that happens, it's already done.
Yeah. And I don't know if it was just because, like maybe there was too much weight to have it on or something, but I don't know. Like, that was a design flaw right there.
Yep.
Because it's still trying to move. It's stuck. Like one of the claws just gets embedded in the ground at one point.
Yep.
So Rev is the first one to be counted out, and Judge Shred is battered and bruised. It actually does self-right at one point during the fight.
Yep.
But it goes to Judge's decision for the remaining three. And Judge Shred gets the axe or the gavel. I'm trying to make a pun here. It's not working. No, like, I mean, because this was the thing, though. Like, I feel like in the second half, like, Judge Shred probably did the best it could do, but it took so much damage in that early on getting stuck with Revolution and just having Anarchy and Thor just come in and beat the crap out of it. So, like, by the time it finally managed to get, like, a fight back, it was already, like, so low in the scorecard that it couldn't make up those points again.
Yep. So, hi, Alan here, just taking a quick break from the action. Chris and I would like to thank a couple of the people that made this podcast possible. First, we would like to thank Greg Watt for the logo.
Our theme song is also by Technomax. You can find their music online at YouTube. That's just search for Technomax.
That's Technomax, spelled TekNoAxe. With all that, we then get to the semi-finals and Tornado versus Four. And as will become a little bit of a theme, Tornado just a bit too quick for an axe spot.
Yeah, you would think, like, considering early Thor, I don't know if we ever actually mentioned that Thor actually also has, like, Thermidor-style pincers at the front.
I mean, they do, but all they do is give extra points for damage.
Yeah, because they're made out of tinfoil.
Yes.
But going into this fight, I think, like, that was, like, maybe Team Thor's kind of thought of, like, oh, well, we've got the claws to clamp them, and then we can get the axe down. But with Tornado being as speedy and powerful as it is, it essentially just drives almost through the claws.
Oh, it's not good.
No, it's not. Yeah, because like the initial push, boom, one of them is already bent.
And it doesn't help. Tornado is hitting Four so hard against the wall, bits of panel are coming off.
Yeah. Like, I was thinking that maybe that may have been because of the saw. It may be a combination of both. Like, it's pushing Thor against the wall so fast and hard that then the saw is really getting in and getting a big meaty chunk and ripping it away. But It could just be blunt force trauma.
Yeah.
So Thor very early on realizes, yep, I think our idea of clamping is gone since our clamps are not working. So yeah. they go for the pet, but the Thor weapon is also just plopped out of the robot and doesn't seem to be going back in. So I think the weapon's gone.
Oh, absolutely.
And then it's just this point where Tornado is chasing Thor. Thor almost reverses into the pit. And then Tornado just, like, grabs Thor and just starts putting him up against the wall and just, like, ramming and back and again and just ramming into Thor, into the wall. And it's like, oh, God.
That's the problem. Is Tornado doesn't stop.
No.
It does not allow rest. It does not give a break. It's just terrifying.
I know it's constant. It's like even to a point where it's like you actually genuinely start feeling sorry for Thor. It's like, oh, give it a second, please.
Yep.
I mean, it's sitting there, Sergeant Bash is like frantically trying its hardest to cut Thor's hammer off, which with those little Bash pincers, it's not exactly going to do, but boy, does Bash keep trying.
It certainly is trying.
It goes to the judges, but surprise, surprise, Tornado wins.
Yep.
And it was absolutely... I mean, it was a complete slaughter again.
Yes. Meanwhile, we get Inshredible versus Anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this kind of... The second Inshredible moves into the arena, you're like, oh no.
You're already done.
And it doesn't help them. Anarchy has a hell of a flipper on it.
It does.
It doesn't look that effective. But...
It didn't even look like a flipper, really. I thought it was just like... At first, I thought it was just kind of a side panel to protect it. So when it went off, like, the first time, you were like, oh, bloody hell. Like, it launches, like, Inshredible, which is a big robot. And it, like... It's very Chaos 2-like in the way that it moves.
As a
flipper.
And... At one point, Anarchy... Because Anarchy is quite obviously trying for Anuta.
Yeah, but the house robots just keep getting in the fucking way.
Including Refbot. Refbot loses something.
I think
it's the camera that Refbot has.
Yeah, because I think Anarchy like flips Inshredible on top of Refbot, and then you see this massive like thing fall off, and you're like, oh, well, Ref's lost something. Was probably kind of important.
Yep.
I know, it's just like, give Anarchy the space. You can clearly see what it's trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
There was at one point where Anarchy like flipped Inshredible up into the Wing Jaw Sergeant Bash. Yeah. And then so like Inshredible was literally just hovering off the ground.
Oh, I. But I mean, it was a good exhibition for Anarchy, and I'm glad it got that chance.
Yeah, it got a good showing.
Because I hate this final.
Mm-hmm.
It is like within about 10 seconds. It is so clear. So Tornado has changed their setup. So they're running with this enormous
boner
spear-like spike. And every time Anarchy does swing, it is quite clear Tornado is too fast.
Yeah, because it shows, like, so the start of the fight, Anarchy actually, I would say, has the advantage for the first, like, maybe 30 seconds or something, because it's like, yeah, sure, it's getting pushed about a little bit by Tornado, but, like, this spike, it doesn't seem to be doing any real damage, and then Anarchy starts getting these flips in on Tornado, like, and again, like, to go back to the Chaos 2 comparison, it was very much like that, in the way that if Anarchy just had that wee bit more speed, it probably might have been able to do a very a la Chaos 2 and Tornado that one time. In fact, it got really close to almost flipping Tornado and its spike weapon catching on the arena wall, and then it could have just got left there.
Yeah.
But I said all that to say, after about three or four flips, that's when Tornado realized the timing.
Uh-huh.
And then duked. It absolutely duked fucking Anarchy, because it comes in with a drive and then stops just short. Anarchy pops the flipper, and then Tornado just jabs that giant boner weapon right in to the insides of fucking Anarchy, and it's like, okay, that was absolutely perfect. Perfect driving.
And the problem is, Tornado works out, we can do... And it starts doing... And Anarchy has to react. Anarchy has to try and flip, because it has to do something.
Yeah.
And every time you see Tornado charging, Anarchy goes to flip, it dodges out of the way, it jumps, and the second the flipper's back, yeah, bang!
It's like,
happens four or five times.
And stop, flip, bang! And then it's like, instantly the second that, like, that spike is getting in there, like, Not that Scuttle B Squared was exactly the fastest robot, but as the match goes, Anarchy is definitely slowing down.
Oh yeah, it keeps
trying to fight, but it's his cogs, no pun intended, because there actually is cogs in there, are not worrying anymore, and it's like it's slowed down to a very slow crawl.
And yeah, it just kind of, it is sad. You are sitting there going, stop, he's already dead.
I know, but like, I mean, as much as I make fun of the big boner weapon on Tornado, like, can't deny that it worked, because it got into the meaty insides, which is exactly what it wanted.
It's something that's becoming very clear with Tornado. They have managed to adapt their setup very well. In terms of... And they make a point of going... The main... Selling point's the wrong term. But the main strength of this version of Tornado is it has these interchangeable weapons.
Yeah, the weapon pod system.
It's not the first team to do that. The first team to do that was obviously Plunderbird.
Yes.
But it is the team that has managed to perfect that in the most effective way. Sometimes in ways that are controversial. And we'll leave it at that. And we're not bringing it up today.
Like when they
Exactly. When you believe they
It's not a Tornado episode if I don't say it at least once, all right?
Exactly. But anyway, it does...
And I would like to think that I give him quite a lot of credit in this episode.
So what they're actually... So what becomes clear is basically the problem that Anarchy had is because it wasn't finished until right before the taping, they didn't really get the chance to practice with it.
Yeah.
And so that was causing the issues with the timing. Anyway, Tornado wins by judge's decision, and we get on to the trivia.
Yes.
This heat marked the first time Tornado used its interchangeable weapons in the main championship. Anarchy became the most successful Walker bot after it reached the heat final. This heat marked the second and last time that a Walker bot made it past the first round, and the only time one would make the heat final. This heat had three robots that would appear in the New Blood Championship, four Revolution 2 and Edgehog.
Hmm.
Two of them would actually appear in the same heat. Terrible was twice labelled as a new robot in this heat, despite its previous appearance in Series 4, which was completely ignored. They also ignored the fact that Tornado was in Series 5 of Robot Wars. I wonder why. It lost to the joke bot. An editing error in the first battle of the heat showed Dead Metal and two CPZs at the same time. And this heat marked the final appearance of Team 101. Because this is, I believe it was Season 7 is when they changed the rules. And it had to be, a walking robot could only be 150% of the weight of the heavyweight division.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, so how big was Anarchy in this episode? I wanted to say it was around like 170 or something.
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
How big was Anarchy in this episode?
Weight was 174, I believe.
Right, so if they wanted it... So are they saying that it could have came back in Season 7 if it... if it shed 24...
So it was 167, so it would have had to have shed 17 kilos.
Right.
Which would probably be getting rid of the flipper or the axe.
Yeah.
It would have to get rid of one of them.
Yeah.
I don't know which one you'd get rid of.
I'd say get rid of the axe.
And also the other problem is, with the greatest deal of respect, Tornado's strength, yes, that weapon of theirs can be quite damaging, the small disc, but Tornado's strength is impact, not spinner, not like, yeah, a spinner or an axe. We don't know how vulnerable Anarchy would have been to a hypno disc or... Actually, I'd be very interested to see what Razor could do to it. Because I don't know that Razor would necessarily be able to get a grip.
I think the one thing Razor would probably be able to do is get it at an angle and maybe just pull it over.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one thing, is like, obviously, like, it is a big square robot, so it probably would actually be somewhat easy to just plop it on its side and then that would be it.
Uh-huh. That's one other question. If this robot... So if Anarchy could self-right, could they have given, like, a Chaos 2 something to think about?
Hmm.
The one caveat is, if they could self-right, because obviously, the weight it was, Chaos 2 would struggle to flip that.
Mm-hmm. At this point, definitely.
Struggle to flip it continuously.
Yeah, probably its first like two or three flips it may do pretty well, but if it ends up landing back on its feet after, say, that third flip, it may not be able to get it again.
I also do believe that Anarchy could have won next week's episode.
Mm-hmm.
Want to know why? Find out next week.